Just to think, just a week ago today, many of us were gathered in the sanctuary, and we also read from Psalm 118, which was Palm Sunday, the celebration of the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem. And what an emotional and deeply touching week this has been. Thursday evening, we were together around the Lord's table here, and we remembered the darkness and the loneliness in the garden. And then on Good Friday, we gathered here with brothers and sisters from other churches, and we were reminded of Golgotha, of the crucifixion, and it was difficult, and no lilies then, dark and quiet. And now we continue with Psalm 118, which is a psalm that was already sung in those days, 2,000 years ago. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. This temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. And then we continue on with the Gospel according to John chapter 20. And those of you who were on the beach this morning, we read the same verses there. And it was a little bit of tension there because our new colleague in the Methodist Church was joining with us for a sunrise service for the first time. And she walked up to me and she had the bulletin. She said, "Where's the scripture reading that I have to read?" I said, no, you needed to bring your own Bible for that. She said, oh. And lo and behold, we made an announcement and there was at least one Christian there with a Bible. So the crisis was solved. Let us read from John 20, because this is indeed a joyous part of the gospel. After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." That was the custom in those days. After a burial in one of those tombs, then usually the woman would come for a few days after that, and they would continue with oil and care for the body. And after a few days, then the tomb was finally sealed. And Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. "I saw the Master." And she told them everything he said to her. And later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. And Jesus entered, stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Here ends our scripture reading. It is Easter, not only here, but across the world. Celebration after celebration, from nation to nation, in different languages, different places. And I must be honest with you that the message of Easter is not always so easy to understand. I should know, I come from a different country, different theologians, different theology, and then just to confuse me thoroughly, I went to Europe and there a new theology, and then came to America, wow. And then you hear the different understandings, the different interpretations, all united in the one pure statement, Christ is alive today. Now, if we get confused as grown-ups, I want to tell you that it's utterly confusing for our kids that just left, maybe better so, because we'll just confuse them more when they listen to this. And you know how kids are. They see all the trappings of Christmas. They come here and they see all the celebrations. And the real thing that touches them is the love that with which it's given. And they enjoy the colors. And today it's different. They see the lilies and they think, well, one of those good days again. So children do get confused. They see the outward, but they do not always understand the significance. And especially with Easter time, what is this all about? The change of moods and so on. So there is a gem of a story about a group of five-year-olds in a Sunday school class. It was Easter time. And the teacher asks, does anyone know what today is? And one cute little girl had her hand up and she said, today is Easter Sunday because Jesus rose from the grave. And the teacher exclaimed, that's fantastic, wonderful. But the little girl had more to say. So she kept on talking. But if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks. They do get confused. Easter tells us that the long night has ended, that daylight has broken, the pain and suffering is over, death and destruction is no more. Easter is a celebration of new life and new beginnings in Christ. And so foremost in our minds today are the different biblical accounts surrounding the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the first Easter, the joyful alleluias, the life songs of a forgiven and resurrected people replaced the hateful cries, crucify, crucify. Friday, it was all crucify. Sunday, it was all hallelujah. The death-dealing cross on which Jesus suffered became a tree of life-bearing fruits of forgiveness. The sealed tomb has become a symbol of freedom, liberty, and liberation. It is a very good day to worship with joy today, and we join with untold millions across the world as we say, hallelujah, Christ is alive. Glory to God. This is a very good day indeed. Now I need to tell you that here in America, we are living in a part of the world where Easter comes at springtime. And so it was a bit confusing to me too when I first came here, because we come from Africa, and for many years I served churches in South Africa, and as you know, the seasons are just exactly the opposite down there. So when this time of the year came, we always said, well, the summer is over, fall is over, winter is at hand. So the significance of new life is a typical American thing. It's not really noticeable on the other side of the globe. But on this side of the globe, Easter is also associated with spring. That's why the kids are having a spring break. New life and growth in nature. It is like a spring festival. The fresh and the sweet smell of lilies. All nature is waking up from the sleep of winter as blossoms bloom and new green sprouts are showing. And Christians everywhere are celebrating Easter as a joyous celebration. And they've laid the connection, they've made the connection with the season here in America. It becomes also a celebration of new life and new growth. So it's a day of hope with a message for a better tomorrow. It's just going to get better and better. It's also a day for a new commitment. Now, it's amazing when you read the gospel on this. The Apostle John wrote, on the evening of that day, first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And I must say this, that I think this is an unfortunate word, the fear of the Jews. Of course, Jesus was a Jew and most of his followers were Jews. And some people have used this to really see Jews as the enemy. They are not. They are not. The reference to Jews here is simply the people who were in charge of the temple, the high priest, the people of those days. And after the crucifixion of Jesus, don't think it was all over. The followers of Jesus were nervous and they were scared because the Romans had now killed what they would call their leader. But they weren't sure what was waiting for them. So they locked their doors because they knew that those connect people in the temple were connected with the Romans in one other way. And they might just point and say, there's followers. And there might be a knock on the door. And so they were afraid. Doors were locked, tightly locked. And then John writes, it's so beautiful, he says, in spite of the locked doors, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them four words. Peace be with you. Can you imagine? At the darkest of the night, during the deepest sorrow, peace be with you. God's message struck them in the risen Lord that moment. So I think we can really call this the first Easter sermon ever recorded in Scripture. And we can say, well, that sermon consisted of only four words. Peace be with you. Because that was the primary message of Jesus to them at that moment. Fear not. Fear not. I am with you till the end of time. Peace be unto you. Peace? Peace under those circumstances? What a message. Could that be why even in our time we often refer to Jesus as the Prince of Peace? The one at midnight who spoke about sunrise? Peace? Friends, and we know what's happening in the world. We are sharing with Iraq, with Afghanistan, Mogadishu now, other places of unrest. We see the needless killing. Oh God, how we have wandered. Peace. Elusive is the word, but present, alive is the Prince of Peace, and we call him Savior. We call him Rabboni, Teacher, Master. We want peace. Oh, we do. We want it for our families. We want it for our world. When Jesus appeared, four words were spoken. Peace be unto you. And from that moment, something happened. It was no longer necessary to lock the doors. Of course they had to be careful. Of course they had to be careful. But something had changed, and since that moment they didn't even fear death anymore. The master had conquered. And so the moment when they saw Jesus, when they heard his message, they changed as well. The fear disappeared. They became something that they never thought possible. They became what they never thought would happen again in their lives. Just as we may not be able to see the wind, but when we look out over the nature, we can see it having its impact on the trees. And you realize a fresh breeze is blowing. And you just see the movement. Oh, when the Spirit of God blows, you see the movement of God's people. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it across the world. When people become aware of a living Christ, darkness dissipates, disappears. That was the effect of the living Christ on the downhearted and thoroughly defeated disciples. That's the beginning of the gospel. It's not 2,000 years later. I've got news for you. I think you know it already. Christ still brings radical change in people's lives. It's one small condition. They would only have to let him, allow him. You know, God often visits us, but most of the time, we're not in. You see, the tragedy in many lives is that some prefer to have only a casual relationship with Christ. We want to sort of know that Christ is there, especially just in case we have an emergency. That's why soldiers who've been through war would tell you there are no atheists in foxholes, because when emergency comes, oh, how we look for the Prince of Peace. So some people are willing to be in the audience with the emergency bell in their hands, but sharing their lives with him, belonging to God in the real sense of the word, well, that's another story. So today, you and I again need to hear that calming assurance that only Christ can give. Peace be unto you. And friends, it's the nature of my work. There are several ordained ministers in this church this morning. They will tell you. Our folk, here and everywhere, are going through tough times. There are many people sitting in this church this morning who doesn't understand. How can he talk about peace? Oh, if you could see in my life, if you can see the mess that I have to deal with every day of my life. I feel so far away from God. I don't even have time to think about God. What are you talking about, peace? Come down from up there, Pastor. Come and sit beside you and let me tell you what hell is all about. And many of our people wrestle through life without that peace. But when Christ says to us, peace be unto you, I think it's just another way of saying, you are loved. You are noticed. I care for you. I care for you deeply. Even Gethsemane and Golgotha weren't too much. couldn't still my care, my love for you. You are of priceless value. Do you know how astounding, satisfying our lives would be if we could only truly believe that? The great need that many of us have today is not only to believe in Christ, but also to know that Christ believes in us. And when we pray, bring peace into this world, O God, then we usually add and begin today, begin in me. Somehow, in the marvelous plan for God's kingdom, you and I fit in. Could have been brought about in a different way, but somehow we get privileged, we get called, we get readied up for the task of peace. And once when you and I know the peace that passes all understanding, we begin to reach out to others in pain, others without peace, and we begin to share and share and share. So how we feel about ourselves can make a difference. Christ says, "Peace be unto you. I love you. You are precious to me." And that's so interesting to see that the first disciples did not remain disciples. They got a change. They got a little bit of an advancement, a raise, you could say. They were first called disciples, and some of them afterwards got a new title. They got called apostles. Now, you know what the difference is. A disciple, it's a good thing. It's one who sits at the feet of a great teacher. An apostle is one who is sent to tell the story that the teacher taught. It's great to be disciples, but God calls for us to accept responsibility for our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And when we do, we claim the title of apostles, being sent into this world with a task, with a mission. And we shall not fear the gates of hell, because God lives through Jesus Christ and the Spirit in our hearts. Let us not spend our entire life as disciples, but let us ask, what is the message of Easter 2009 for me personally? Will I go back when the lilies wither? Back to where I was? Then Easter was in vain. Christ's plan for peace of the world is centered in his people. That's us. So if the world is to have peace, then we must be makers and messengers of the peace that only Christ can give. The first Easter sermon, "Peace be unto you." Is there someone here this morning who has not yet experienced the peace that Christ offers? Oh friend, oh brother, oh sister, you're missing so much. Come out into the sunlight. Let his love flood your heart and your soul this day, and you will never, ever be the same again. Because he lives, I can walk into the future because I no longer fear. Because I have discovered the Lord of my life has purpose and my life has meaning. And because he lives, our weeping has ended and our sunset of despair has turned into a sunrise of hope. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living, just because he lives. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Loving God, we rejoice, we celebrate, and we thank you for Easter. The world around us is different today because of you. Signs of new life and new beginnings are everywhere. The very earth celebrates your triumph as fresh green life bursts forth from beneath the cold earth. And we, like the first green blades of spring, reach towards the radiance of the living Christ. Through him we are free. And because he lives, sin and death have no power over us. Oh God, we want to rise to the challenges of daily work with the energy of people who received a new chance at life, a fresh start with all good things now possible. So help us leave behind, like empty grave clothes, all the cowering, craving, and crass manipulation in which the world has schooled us so well. Help us step forth, full of courage, into a new day, into a new season of growth and grace. O God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.